as by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. So this is the second part of our message that we started last week on the person of Barnabas. I want you to go over to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and notice with me verse 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16. And it tells us here in verse 16, I will pray, Jesus says, the Father, and he shall give you another what? Comforter. And that ye may abide with you forever. So we saw last week that is a word which means encouragement. It means to exhort. It means to come alongside of you. Now think about that. The Holy Spirit is someone who comes alongside of you, and he helps us and he strengthens us and he walks beside us. He encourages us. He exhorts us when we need to be exhorted. And the word comforter there is the word have that comes from the Greek word, which means a paraclete. So the Holy Spirit is that paraclete. Go over with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in the book of 1 John, it tells us in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So if we say we have no sin nature, we're just simply confusing ourselves. Something wrong, brother? Yeah, but I'm going to chapter 2. So look at chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you that. All right, but I am going to get you to chapter 2. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, it tells us we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, it's one thing to say you don't think you have a sin nature. It's another thing to say, well, I don't commit acts of sin. And he says, if we say that we have not committed acts of sin, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Now, the solution to that is in verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, now chapter 2. Look at verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. So he doesn't want us to sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And who is that advocate? Jesus Christ. The word advocate is the word, we get the word paraclete. And it's the same word that's translated comforter in John chapter 14. So, which means that not only is the Holy Spirit someone who comes alongside of us, encourages us, strengthens us, exhorts us, but Jesus Christ is the same way. He is the one who is kind of like, we look at that and we think of an advocate, think of in the case of a court of law. You know, a lawyer is someone who is advocating for his client. He is coming alongside of him, representing him. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when we come back to the book of Acts, chapter 4, in verse 36, when it says that Barnabas, his character was of such a nature that actually he was a paraclete. So not only is the Holy Spirit an encourager, not only is Jesus Christ an encourager, Christians can be encouragers. Now, it's hard to be an encourager, isn't it, when you don't feel very encouraged? It's hard to come out of yourself and say, you know what, the situation around me right now doesn't permit me right now to have a pity party. The circumstances around me right now means that this is a time for me to minister and not be ministered. How would you like if I got up every time I preach and said, oh, woe is me. Life is so rough. Matter of fact, I got a few sermons on that. Let's preach one of them. And the next week I say the same thing. Now, you know, the fact is, my responsibility when I'm up here preaching is not to get you to feel sorry for me, but to reach out to you. And I often told our Sunday school teachers that, you know, when you're in the Sunday school room, you are in a place to be ministering, not to be ministered to. Now, there's times, there's places where somebody can minister to you, but the fact is, we as individuals ought to be like Barnabas. Now, we began with six things that shows that Barnabas was an encourager. First of all, we saw that he helped the needy saints. Chapter 4, verse 37, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And he cared about other people's needs. He saw where they maybe could use someone that could come, he could come alongside of it and maybe help them financially. And obviously, we want to have somebody that we can help in their needs, whether it be a physical need or maybe an emotional need or maybe a spiritual need. And, you know, even Jesus came to be, not to be ministered to, but to minister. Now, if anybody was misrepresented, it was the Lord. And he was constantly misrepresented. He was constantly being accused. He was constantly being mistreated. And yet, what did he do? He wanted to minister on this earth. And certainly he still does that. But as a Christian, we ought to help those in need. Secondly, we saw that not only did Barnabas help the needy, he endorsed an unwelcome convert. Chapter 9, verse 26. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts, verse 26, tells us that after the apostle Paul was saved, of course his name was Saul, and the scripture tells us that he was getting it from both directions. He had enemies, because now he was going to Damascus. And God struck him down and said, Now why persecutest thou me? And Saul looks up and says, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. So think about this. He's on his way to represent the Jewish Sanhedrin. He's representing those who are against Christians. He gets converted. When he gets converted, he starts preaching. Now, we read all this last week, so we won't go back to it. But he starts preaching. So the people that send him to squelch Christianity, that time being known as the Way, because Jesus said, I am the Way, and they were angry at him. We've got to kill this guy. He's now, instead of squelching God's people or the Way, this heretical movement, he's now become part of them. He goes to the church and they say, he's a phony. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So, talk about being in a dilemma. You know, it's kind of like being shot at from both directions. Hated by those he was representing to attack Christians, and distrusted by those who were Christians. Verse 27 tells the whole story, though. But Barnabas. And Barnabas took him, verse 27, brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And verse 28 says, and he was with them, coming and going. You know, sometimes we need somebody to be our advocate, don't we? You ever been mistrusted? Have you ever had someone say, you know, not too sure about you? And to have a friend just come alongside of you and say, hey, this guy's the real deal. So Barnabas not only helped the needy, not only did he endorse this unwelcome convert, but number three, he accepted, and I said last week, rejected believers. Maybe that's a little bit too strong of a word, but these were, in a sense, foreign believers. They were alien believers. In other words, they didn't go through the same Christian colleges. They didn't follow the same denominational path as what was expected in that day. We saw in chapter 11, verse 19, if you go over there, that there was conversions taking place by some of the least likely people. You know, you'd almost think in verse 19 that the apostles went out and preached everywhere. But that's not what Acts chapter 8 tells us. Acts chapter 8 tells us that when the Christians were persecuted by Paul, they were spread everywhere except the apostles. And these people that had just gotten saved, remember, this is the group that in Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 4, when Peter got up and preached, and people were being saved, and they were under attack, and they just spread everywhere. And those people that spread everywhere said, you know what? No one gave me ordination or credentials. I'm just going to give the gospel. Fascinating passage, actually. You'll see four things take place, and I won't have time to develop it. They spake the gospel, which meant they walked alongside of each of them. Verse 20, at the end of that verse, they preached, they gave the gospel to others. Verse 23, they exhorted, as in the case of Barnabas, and in verse 26, they taught. But what was interesting is, think about this. What would the city of Manhattan be like if every one of us just went around and just constantly over and over and over again just gave the gospel. Now that's what the early church did. And it changed the world. Now, the interesting thing is, they were not of their stripe. So verse 22, then tidings of these things, of people that had gotten saved, came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. So what did they do? They sent Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. So here were people in Antioch that had gotten saved, and as we showed last week, he got up there, and it says in verse 23, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them. There's that word, paraclete. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. So, Mr. Son of Consolation, he goes up to this church in the city of Antioch, and he said, you know, these people are not necessarily of the 12, but they got saved. And he says, attaboy, keep at it, cleave to the Lord. So, that's where we ended last week. Number four, we see that he enlisted a promising teacher. Now, here's Barnabas, up in Antioch. Man, this is wonderful. People are getting saved. People are smiling. People are loving the Lord. People are doing right. They've changed their lifestyles. Their homes got better. Their employment, there was a work ethic on them that was different. And Barnabas rejoiced. What? I need help. So what does he do? Look at chapter 11 and look at verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek who? He saw something in that young man. He said, there is something about Saul. The guy is the real deal. He is faithful. And we're told in verse 26, and when he had found him. Now that suggests he wasn't easy to find. What was Paul doing? Well, he was just witnessing to everywhere. And he found him. And he brought him to Antioch. And he stayed there a whole, year with the church. And they taught much people. And you know this verse. And the disciples were called what? Christians first in Antioch. You know, these people were so much like Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful if all who know the name of Christ were so marked by the Lord Jesus Christ that people said, that person's like Christ. And the scripture tells us they became known as Christians. So, Barnabas is a person who enlisted this promising young man, Saul, and says, you know what, I think he can be used of the Lord. Now, let me ask you a question. Who are you trying to help be developed to be used of the Lord? Could be our children, right? It could be our neighbor. It could be somebody we work with. Now, obviously, we have to get them, see them get saved. And it'd be wonderful if we were all at the ministry of enlisting somebody to grow in the Lord so that they could replace our church. Why do churches like ours get older? Somebody's not going after the younger. That's why. That's not an accusation. It's not a blame. But why is it that we are not going after the younger generation? Now, the point is, if we're going to do that, we've got to come alongside of these people. And that's what Barnabas did. The fifth thing that we see, and I'm going to give you six, is that the apostle, or Barnabas, he developed his assistant. Now this is interesting because when Barnabas gets Saul to come to Antioch, who was assisting who? Well, he was assisting Barnabas. He said, hey, come and be my assistant. And the scripture tells us that in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, now they had been there over a year, in verse 1, now there was in the church that was at Antioch. And it says here that there were prophets and teachers, and it names them. Barnabas is first. Who's last on the list? Saul. So the Holy Spirit, verse 2, says that as they ministered to the Lord. So here's the key. You know, a lot of times people want positions. But God says, you just serve the Lord and I'll give you positions. You know, I remember one time I knew a young man at that time. He was older than me, but he was a young man. And he said, you know, I would love to just go preach if God would call me to preach. And I said, do you think God's called you to preach? He said, yeah. And I said, well, go preach. Where? I said, there's people everywhere. See? And the point is, sometimes we're looking for a certain place when God wants us to be ministering for the Lord. So, the scripture tells us they ministered to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, who? Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So, it's interesting that, you know, Barnabas, and actually if you go back, interestingly enough, if you go back to chapter 11 again, we're told that in verse 30, at the end of the very chapter of 11, he is called Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and his assistant. We see in chapter 12, verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul. There's the older believer, and there is his assistant. Chapter 13, verse 1, Barnabas at the head of the list, and at the end of verse 1 of chapter 13, and Saul. We see at the end of verse, or in the middle of verse 2, it talks about Barnabas and Saul. And we're told in verse 7 that when they came across this guy named Sergius Paulus, who called for Barnabas and Saul. Now, then, verse 9, Saul is now, we're told, called Paul. And we come to verse 13, and we talked about this when we dealt with the person of Paul. It says, now when Paul and his company. So now Paul is in charge. Verse 43, instead of Barnabas and Paul, we see in verse 43, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas. Verse 50, it talks about Paul and Barnabas. Now, we do come to chapter 14 and we see that those two names are reversed in verse 12, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius. But notice what it says about him. What does it say? Chapter 14, verse 12. Because Paul, speaking of Paul, was the chief speaker. And of course, we see them referred that way a little bit. Chapter 15, when they go back to Jerusalem, that they switch the names a little bit, but it seems to always come around to Paul and Barnabas. And Bible scholars have been telling us for years, right, that something changed when Paul became the chief speaker. Now, we talked about Paul that way, but what do you think Barnabas thought? I'm becoming overshadowed by my younger comrade here. And he actually, in a sense, becomes second fiddle. And it's an interesting thing that the senior member was willing to let the junior member take over the top spot. They didn't get in an argument over that. Now we're going to see they'll get in an argument, right? But they don't get in an argument over that. And one poem puts it this way, it takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well. And sometimes what we want is we want to be the top person. But it takes incredible grace for someone to say, you know what? You be the top person. Now, some people don't want to be the top person because they don't want the responsibility. Now, we know that Barnabas was not that way. Because Barnabas went up to Antioch, right? And he took charge. And he went and got his assistant. But he also watched his assistant become his leader. And he developed an assistant who became the assistant. And this speaks volumes about Barnabas. And we see that he developed his assistant to become his senior. And yet we don't see any sense of jealousy on his part. What do you do when someone does better than you? You know what? Let me tell you something. There's always somebody out there that can do better than you. Now that's humbling. Because we think, well, no way, man, I'm going to be the top. I'm number one! And then they get whooped. So another team always seems to be better. You know, we should look at seeing who can we develop and then just let them run if they can be used for the Lord. Now, the last thing I want you to see about Barnabas is that he restored a youthful deserter. Now, most of you probably know this story, but let me, for those of you that may be listening online, don't know the story. But in chapter 12 of the book of Acts, the Bible tells us in verse 25, we already looked at that regarding Barnabas and Saul, returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, and then you come to chapter 13 where they go out on their first missionary journey. So here they are on their missionary journey, and the scripture tells us that here's this young man, John, who was in this house. And we're told in verse 12 of Acts 12, look at that. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together. So here's a young man who had the opportunity and privilege to see these Christians meet in his house. That's one of the best things you can ever do, is have godly people in your home. And when you do that, you know, John Mark, you know, is probably there saying, man, I'd like to do that. That sounds exciting. So, in verse 25, Barnabas and Saul said, okay, let's take Mark. Well, they go on their journey, and if you look at chapter 13, verse 1 through 12, as we've been looking at that, we see that there was some conflict. And in chapter 13, verse 13, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And what did John do? He departed from them. Now, you could look at that and say, well, he just kind of decided, you know, maybe he was only going to stay with them a few weeks and he was going to go back. But we're going to see that when we come to chapter 15 in verse 36, that it was not something that the Apostle Paul looked favorably upon. And so we're told in chapter 15, verse 36, some days after, and this is after they came back, after their first missionary journey, the Jerusalem councils in chapter 15, in verse 36, and some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go again, visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And they were excited about this. You know, let's go back and let's make sure that these people that prayed a prayer of salvation are really living for the Lord. Now, I hope you do that. If somebody makes a profession of faith, what do you do to make sure that they follow through? Well, that's what Paul and Barnabas decided to do. But, verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul, verse 38, thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them in the work. So, you could almost hear the discussion go on here. You know, I think we should give the young man another chance, Barnabas says. Paul says, no, once a quitter, always a quitter. He'll be a detriment to us. We'll get out there. How do we know he won't defect? How do we know he won't somehow make it so that there's going to be more danger because of him? And Barnabas said, well, I think, you know, yeah, he did mess up. He was a young man. Let's give him a chance. Paul said, no. And the close relationship of Paul and Barnabas gets severed. Because we see in verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas. And this is how Paul and Silas become team, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And of course, you know, you'll see disagreement on that. Who was right there? Was Barnabas right to give the young man another chance? Was Paul right to say, no, he's a quitter? Well, regardless of what we would say on that, we understand that Barnabas wasn't the kind of a guy who was going to give up on somebody. Why? He came alongside of John Mark. And he stood up for him. And you know, that's an interesting thing. If you go over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, in your Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, here's the very last letter the Apostle Paul wrote after 2 Timothy. We are convinced that he had died. If you remember, he says in verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, chapter 4, verse 6. The time of my departure is at hand. And he says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. But notice what Paul tells Timothy. Take Mark and bring him with thee. Why? You tell me why. He's proven himself to be a true believer. He's proven himself to have come to the point where he could be trusted. And, you know, that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, we shoot our wounded. Sometimes we see people who have fallen. And we say, they're ungodly, we shouldn't have anything to do with them. Now, is there such a thing as church discipline? Yes. But the purpose of church discipline is to always bring them back. And the fact that John Mark became useful in the ministry, probably both Barnabas and Paul were right. So when we think of Barnabas, we see somebody who comes alongside of someone. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Though Barnabas never wrote a book in the New Testament. How many books are in the New Testament anyway? 27 books. How many books did Paul write? 13. Did John Mark write a book? He did. He's the author of the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. And though Barnabas never wrote a book, if Barnabas had not used his gift of encouragement to come alongside of people, we could theoretically be missing one half of the New Testament. See, this guy is a very important person in the life of Paul. And I think it's important that we understand that God would have us to come alongside of people. And sometimes people don't always agree with us. But they ought to know that we love them and we care for them and we're working with them. And may by God's grace, we be a Barnabas. Our Father, we thank you so much for all that you do. I thank you for all the Barnabases you brought in my life over the years. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to stay strong. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement. Help us to be like Barnabas. And Father, may you use us that we would not become one of those that would become distant from other Christians, but that we would truly, like the Holy Spirit and like the light of others, for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.